a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Yesterday was Independence Day. I really like to call it Independence Day, not just the 4th. The 4th is kind of a number. Independence Day describes the event. And for those who live in this country, recently you've been told in the media and by many different groups that you shouldn't be proud of this country because of its origins. I would submit to you that if you look at the history of this country, there is a great deal to be proud of. Was there slavery in the United States? Yes, but this country ended slavery. People say many of the founding fathers had slaves. George Washington and others freed their slaves. That's the rest of the story that you don't often hear. As Latter-day Saints, we read in Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 80, which is something that is revered as scripture and as inspired by God. We read, quote, I established the constitution of this land by the hand of wise men whom I raised up unto this very purpose, close quote. If you're a believing Latter-day Saint, you believe that the founding fathers, the men who were involved in establishing the constitution, were raised up by God for that purpose. Did they have flaws? Sure. But they established the greatest form of government ever in the history of the world. The most just, not the perfectly just, but the most just. One of the very most free as well. So who were the founding fathers? What were they like? Were they horrible men? Were they good men? Were they wonderful men? Well, according to section 101, verse 80, they were good men. They were inspired by God. They weren't perfect men. They were the ones who declared independence. They were the ones who took part in the Revolutionary War for freedom. They were the ones who worked to establish the Constitution of the United States. There were 7 key founding fathers. I'd like to talk briefly about them, the ones that were very important. John Jay is the first that I want to discuss. He believed the world would have peace if Christianity spread to all nations. He believed the president of the Continental Congress, which was him, should lead the country to freedom. He wrote 5 of the 85 Federalist Papers. If anyone listening has not heard of or read the Federalist Papers, please take the opportunity. It will open your eyes. These are things that are not taught in school these days. He was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. John Jay was an Episcopalian. He said that several of his decisions rested upon the idea and the concept that the United States is a Christian nation, not in the sense that its citizenry must be Christian, but upon Christian principles. and that its citizens should therefore prefer to elect Christians to political office. People today would find that idea abhorrent, but it was for him founded in the idea that Christian ideals were good ideals and perhaps the best ideals. He was part of the Federalist Party. He was governor of New York. He was educated at Columbia University. Alexander Hamilton is the next founding father I wanted to mention. He wrote three hymns. He prayed on his knees every morning when he woke up. In the Revolutionary War, he was an artillery soldier, then a captain, and finally he was a senior aide to George Washington. He wrote 52 of the 85 Federalist Papers. He was the leader of the Federalist Party. He was the first secretary of the U.S. Treasury. He was educated at Columbia University. Benjamin Franklin, the third of the seven founding fathers that I wanted to mention. At the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin, who had his faults with women and other things, begged each day that the efforts of the Constitutional Convention begin with prayer. He said this, quote, "I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held every morning before we proceed to business," close quote. That doesn't sound like somebody who was interested in separating government from religion. That was not the point of the founding fathers at all. They just wanted to separate a state church from government. He said, quote, "Strong faith in God is the wellspring of morality and goodness in man." He actually wanted the Bible to be a text in public schools. He was brilliant. He invented the lightning rod, bifocals, the Franklin stove, and a specific kind of odometer for carriages. He only had a second grade education. His political party was independent. He was in the colony of Pennsylvania. He was a printer, an inventor, and a scientist, a brilliant man. James Madison, the fourth founding father I wanted to mention, wrote the Declaration of Independence and Constitution with Thomas Jefferson and others. He is the principal architect of the First Amendment, which is the one that guarantees freedom of speech and of religion. He's known as the father of the Constitution. He wrote 28 of the Federalist Papers. He was involved in writing all of the Bill of Rights. He was the fourth U.S. president. He made this comment, quote, "There could not be a stronger testimony in favor of religion than for those elected to office becoming fervent advocates in the cause of Christ," close quote. He also was a Christian. He was educated at Princeton. He was part of the Virginia colony. His political party was Democratic Republican. His vocation, lawyer. Next, Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson was the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, in which he wrote, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," close quote. He wrote the Jefferson Bible, and some people say he took out all the miracles of Jesus. What he really did was took out all of the things that were not directly the words of Jesus, so that if you opened up his New Testament, it really just consisted of the words of Jesus, which he thought were the very most sublime of all. He was the third president of the United States, the second governor of Virginia. He wrote a book called The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. In 1777, he wrote and introduced in Virginia a bill for establishing religious freedom. was absolutely fabulous. If you have time, look it up. It said some wonderful things. He was educated at the College of William and Mary. He was part of the Virginia colony. He was a Democratic Republican. If you're just joining us today, we're talking about the principal seven founding fathers, how they influenced this country, why we should indeed be proud of the United States of America and not feel ashamed of its history and its past. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We'll be right back after these messages.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. It's the day after Independence Day. Talking about the founding fathers, at least the seven principal ones. That's all we have time for. About the founding of this country, about the wonderful and good things upon which it was founded and which those founding fathers did. All of us would, I believe, prefer that our actions be judged by the good actions that we did and not simply by the things that people find bad or poor or abhorrent. So too with founding fathers. We should look at the wonderful things they did and not just focus on their flaws. If you have a question or comment about this show or any other show, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. When we took our break, we had just finished talking about Thomas Jefferson. Let's move on now to John Adams. John Adams was a Congregationalist, and then later he became a Unitarian by his religious preference. He nominated George Washington to command the Revolutionary Army. He was vice president to George Washington. He was the second U.S. president. He was the leader in convincing Congress to declare independence. He helped Thomas Jefferson draft the Declaration of Independence. He never owned slaves and publicly opposed slavery all his life. He was educated at Harvard. His colony was Massachusetts. His political party was Federalist. And interestingly enough, he and Thomas Jefferson both died on the same date, Independence Day, July 4th, 1826. And finally, George Washington. He was an Anglican, then an Episcopalian, by religious preference. He praised religious values. He attended church with his wife until their rector reprimanded him, at which time he stopped attending church, but was still personally quite religious. He was commander of the Revolutionary Army. He prayed with his troops and did so daily in private by himself. He, of course, was the first U.S. president. He was the only president to receive all electoral votes. He detested political parties. He turned down the $25,000 salary as president. And interestingly enough, he voluntarily left the presidency. There were no term limits back then. He probably would have been reelected his entire life. He voluntarily left and set that precedent. His farewell address shaped the nation. He had very little formal education. He was tutored through the age of 14. He owned slaves, but during his term as president, he said to several people that upon reflection, he believed that the United States could only survive if the institution of slavery were ended. And in his will, he made arrangements for the freedom for all of his slaves and also made careful plans so that they would be taken care of. Now we move for a minute or two to the way others viewed the United States. A fascinating man, Alexis de Tocqueville, who came over from France, made this comment about the United States, quote, "Religion is much more necessary in the Republic," talking about the United States, "than in the monarchy," talking about France and England. "It is more needed in democratic republics than in any others. How is it possible that society should escape destruction if the moral tie is not strengthened in proportion as the political tie is relaxed?" Now, what he means here is that if we have few laws and an open, free society, the people need moral values, and that is what religion provides for them. That is the point that de Tocqueville made, which is a fascinating one. George Washington also said, quote, and this is an excerpt from his farewell address, "Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Now, one of the fascinating comments about the United States of America was one that Joseph Smith gave on April 6th, 1840, in General Conference. This is to be found in the Joseph Smith Papers. He said that in the future, the U.S. would be brought to, quote, "the very verge of crumbling to pieces and tumbling to the ground. And then when the Constitution is upon the brink of ruin, this people," meaning the Latter-day Saints, "will be the staff upon which the nation shall lean, and they shall bear the Constitution away from the very verge of destruction," close quote. Now, this idea was one of the founding ideas for why Brigham Young University established a law school. The idea, at least in part, was that if the Latter-day Saints were to help save the Constitution, that it needed to have good legal minds who would be capable of doing so. And certainly many others who were part of the BYU Law School and other good law schools, many across the country, University of Utah and many others, who are members of the LDS faith and other faiths, help good religious principles. Let's talk a bit during our last little bit of time here about the country. In the Book of Mormon, we read in Helaman chapter 5, verse 2, quote, "Their laws and their governments were established by the voice of the people, and they who chose evil were more numerous than they who chose good. Therefore, they were ripening for destruction, for the laws had become corrupted," close quote. We must be vigilant and careful that we as a people do not choose evil rather than good. In Doctrine and Covenants 98, verses 5 and 7, we read this, and I'll end with this idea, quote, "That law of the land which is constitutional supporting that principle of freedom in maintaining rights and privileges belongs to all mankind and is justifiable for me. And as pertaining to law of man, whatsoever is more or less than this cometh of evil. Close quote. The idea here is that excessive laws are not good, and good laws must be based upon constitutional principles. During the time that we think about independence in this country, be proud of its good heritage, try to make this country better, understand its flaws, and move things forward. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.